Hello, and welcome to the ADHD Manual Podcast. My name is Abby Chow. I'm a marriage and family therapist, an ADHD certified clinical services provider, and a proud ADHDer. This is a podcast for people with attention deficit hyperactivity disorder and those who love us, which covers pretty much everybody. Growing up with a colorful brain in a black and white world can make us feel like aliens. The manual we were given to guide us through life doesn't have any diagrams of the parts we have. I've decided to stop throwing away my parts and start throwing away this useless manual to write my own. So kick off your shoes, have a seat, and take a break from fitting yourself into a mold that's not your shape. You belong here. Allies, welcome to the ADHD planet. ADHDers, welcome home. Hello everyone. Hope your summer is starting off well. Memorial Day coming up, warmer weather around the corner, too warm in some places. I hope you were able to get vaccinated, and I hope that went well for you. I got the Johnson & Johnson vaccine, which is great. And it was fine. It was great to be one and done, and I didn't have to worry about scheduling a follow-up whatever, and wasn't too bad. Sick for about a day, but it is kind of freaking me out a little bit to hear about, like, there's all these news stories about how, like, these vaccines are great. They are, like, so effective, and, you know, they're doing a great job. And all these news articles are saying, like, and by vaccines, we mean Moderna and Pfizer. You know, like, they just, like, I haven't found many talking about the Janssen one at all. So that's a little weird. But overall, I think it's doing its job. I think it's going to be great. And I'm hoping that your life is expanding. And that you're able to see more people and do more things that you love. So today, I need to talk about something, and let's see. I'll start with, a kind of sort of announcement. I say sort of because, like, it doesn't, you know, it doesn't really affect anybody else, anyone out there, but since everyone who needs to know knows now, I feel like I can talk about how I decided to quit my job, put in my resignation, and I'm in my last couple weeks now, I need to talk about why, and I need to talk about burnout, and it's really important, and I am leaving because I am burnt out. And I'm going to talk about why that is. But basically, it's just, I tried to look up a lot of, like, and I did a little bit of research on burnout, which was tricky because it can mean a lot of different things, you know? Like, I think a lot of us are struggling right now with pandemic burnout, COVID burnout, you know, like, global pandemic and trauma burnout, which is understandable and I think everyone is having right now. So there's that, which I could mean that. And then I could also mean therapist burnout, which is a pretty widely talked about thing or accepted thing or researched thing. And so I could be talking about that, or I could be talking about neurodivergent burnout, which is you frequently see it referred to as, like, autistic burnout. I think that's probably a more common term, but people of all neurodivergences struggle with burnout to some degree, and so I think all of that is what is going on with me. And so in the attempts to like do some research, and you know, I wanted to kind of deliver a more put together presentation or something, description, and approach and tips specifically on burnout. And while I was trying to work on that, I just realized that, like, wow, like, doing this much work to talk about burnout is, like, it's not honoring my burnout, you know? And it would be, it would not just be, like, a stress that, you know, that, well, not a stress, but, like, it's not just that it's, oh, too much work that I can handle right now, but it's also, like, it's almost dishonest in a way of, like, I'm burnt out, and so that makes doing these things that ultimately I am really interested in and passionate about, it makes it hard. And so, like, to put together a presentation on burnout would be, like, you know, it would be, like, pretending I'm not burnt out, which I am. So, basically, a lot of this is just my own thoughts on it. A lot of this is talking to myself, and I'm still figuring stuff out, and I'm still thinking through it, and feeling through it, and healing through it. And so, I don't know how helpful this will be. I can share the things that I would like to do to address it, my own burnout, but ultimately this will be a picture of what this looks like for me right now. So if anything, this is just an episode about what burnout looks like, at least for me, and what's going on and what led up to this point. So that's where I'm at right now. I can share a definition of burnout, though. I did find that is pretty consistent, that I saw across a couple sources, one of them being the World Health Organization, which I'm not sure about how recent. Okay, a couple years ago. WHO kind of defined it as a medical diagnosis, like a medical condition, burnout, pretty recently. So, so thanks to that, we do have some more or less, like, definitions or more criteria, for lack of a better word, of what burnout is exactly. Because, like, I think, like, a lot of times we say, you know, we say, like, oh, I'm burnt out, or, like, oh, man, I'm feeling really burnt out, and we just kind of have a sense of what that means, you know? Like, we all, we tend to just have a good understanding, or at least we think we do, you know, like, in that people know what we mean, generally. But what's getting me is that, like, I've been talking about being burnt out for a long time, right? And, how to say this? What I'm getting kind of tired of, and in myself as well, I am also guilty of this, of hearing someone say, like, oh, yeah, I'm really burnt out, and just being like, yeah, sure. You know, like, yeah, that makes sense, or yeah, I am too, or, you know, yep, work is hard, you know, things like, just kind of without meaning to be, but ultimately dismissive. And, like, it's almost like the equivalent of saying, oh, yeah, I'm just really tired, you know, or, like, or I didn't sleep well last night, you know, it's almost as if you're saying that, when really what you're saying is that, like, I am suffering. And I really feel like For whatever reason, we have lost the, you know, it's been like sanitized, you know, and it's been like just lost the severity of it. And it's severe, and it deserves attention, and it deserves time and recognition and, recovery. And so I'm just trying to get back to a place where I can acknowledge that and, bring some of that reality, you know? So, I'll come back to that thought in a minute, but, the definition that, the World Health Organization has, for burnout is, like generally three symptoms or criteria. And one of them is feelings of energy depletion or exhaustion. And then two is increased mental distance from one's job, or feeling cynical, or, kind of a lack of connection or, a lack of like compassion, relating to your job. And then the third is, reduced professional efficacy. And, so that's what the WHO says, right? And I think a lot of times we talk about it in the context of work, when really it's bigger than that. I mean, especially at least when we're talking about neurodivergent burnout, and COVID burnout, it's, you know, it's much bigger than just someone's job, you know? So those are like the general things. So, oh yeah. Anyway, so it says professional efficacy, and, at first that struck me as like a, you know, less productive kind of thing. And, whenever I hear the word productive, I automatically roll my eyes and gag a little bit. So, at first I did that, and then, but then I thought about it more and I read some more about it, and I realized that that can be kind of expanded to mean more like feelings of, feelings like your actions aren't making a difference, you know, just kind of aren't feeling like you're not, effective in a broad sense of the word, you know, feeling like you're working very hard and seeing little results, feeling like, almost maybe a sense of hopelessness or, a sense of like being just kind of at a loss or, you know, when I thought about it in that sense, that made a lot, of a connection with me. So like, and I do think that, that applies to the pandemic related stuff of like, I feel like everyone has felt that feeling of like, whatever I do doesn't matter. Or like that feeling of just, especially in the beginning, you know, it was spreading and people were dying and we just couldn't, you know, there was so much, we just always felt behind, you know, we always felt one step behind the virus. And it was like, no matter what we did, it just kept growing and it kept catching and it kept, you know, killing. And so, I definitely think that resonated there. And then of course with neurodivergent burnout, and of course I could speak just from an ADHD perspective, like, I feel like this is a really common feeling, at least with me, and I think with a lot of other people with ADHD, that kind of feeling of, like, it's like the work and the effort I'm putting in isn't equal to the result. You know what I mean? It's this feeling of, like, always having to work, like, three or four times as hard as the average neurotypical person to just look neurotypical, you know, like to just pass as someone who can keep up, you know, just keeping up with the norm, keeping your head above water, like requires just so much more energy from us. And so it can really feel like the effort we put in doesn't matter, you know, that will always be behind. And so I think that really, resonates from a neurodivergent burnout perspective. And and then just from a healthcare worker perspective, I think that's I don't want to get out too much of a rant here, but like, instead, let me say a mini story. So in one of my classes in grad school, and it was pretty early, I want to say it might have even been my first year, because I think it was before I did any kind of field work, or maybe it was like when I was just starting into my practicum, but we were in a class and we were talking about, I think we were talking about ethics and just that overall very complex topic. And for those who aren't familiar with just the therapy profession, you know, we have to take, actually probably all healthcare professions have to do this, but to maintain our license, we have to take continuing education credits, right? And at least in my state, for my license, I have to take at least 6 credits of law and ethics. So it's something that's has a lot of focus and that we continuously have to stay up to date on. And so I think we were talking about that, and we were talking about, and I don't remember how it came up or what exactly the conversation was, but I was talking to my classmates, and I had a very small cohort. I was part of a kind of a new like test run pilot program in my grad school for a weekend cohort. And so I had a very small group of classmates, and we got extremely close. But so I was talking about how burnout and overworking and, you know, self-care is really a matter of ethics, and how it's really related to, you know, just how important it is, how the issue of overworking and high caseloads and, you know, community mental health settings, how burning out therapists is really a matter of ethics, because it means that you're not providing good care. And it means that, you know, it's unethical. You know, I think it's unethical to be burnt out and to be providing care, or being forced to provide care, or provide more, serve more clients than you have the capacity to do. And so I was basically just talking about that, and my professor and a couple of my classmates who had been in the field and had come back for a higher degree, they laughed at me. Like, they basically said that I was like, they're like, oh, that's cute, you know, like they kind of talked to me like I was naive, and it was. I hadn't you know, worked in a community mental health setting, and so basically they were kind of like, that won't matter, like that doesn't matter, like you have to know, like you have to get used to working when you're burnt out, because when you're in an agency or when you're in, you know, a hospital or healthcare system or whatever, like you won't have a choice. Like, you won't have a choice in keeping your caseload small, because, you know, that's what you just have to do. And so, like, it was treated as something, like, burnout was treated as something that you just have to deal with, you know? Like, and I still see this sometimes in, at least in the community mental health setting, I think, because, like, fatigue and burnout and, you know, high caseloads or high work, you know, that's something that comes up a lot. You know, it's kind of hard to avoid if you're in a community mental health setting, but like, in my experience, it is so frequently approached as an issue of personal responsibility, as like, it's almost as if the message is, it's either, burnout is a fact of life, and you just have to deal with it, and you just have to, you know, keep moving even though you're burnt out. Like, that's the lesson here. You're going to learn how to keep going, despite your burnout. And if you can't, it's because you are not doing self-care right. It was very frequently treated as a personal responsibility, as something that, like, you know, because I'm burnt out, it means I'm not, you know, I don't know, meditating enough. And I have been in the field longer now, you know, out of grad school. But I still feel that way. I still stand by that. You know, I still stand by it being a matter of ethics, and, I'm not suggesting that people who, you know, mental health workers who are burnt out and stay at their agency jobs are unethical or anything like that. I'm really thinking much broader, because I'm tired of that being a personal responsibility. You know, I'm tired of being that, having that conversation as, like, you know, pointing towards the workers and being like, you're doing something wrong because you're staying at your job even though you're burnt out, and, like, look at me, I'm quitting, that's the right thing to do. Like, no, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that this is so much bigger. And, like, I'm pointing at, I don't know who I'm pointing at, but I'm pointing at, like, the whole system and the whole, like, you know, it just feels so big. And I think that's part of what, and I think maybe because I'm burnt out, it feels even bigger and it feels even more impossible to pinpoint who is at fault here, or if anybody. But what am I even saying? I'm basically saying that I don't think it's naive or ignorant to believe that at least healthcare worker burnout is a matter of ethics. And I think that we need to really, and it's not that these conversations aren't already happening. Obviously they are. I'm not the only one person talking about this, you know, but, I just really feel like we need to look bigger, and we need to really back up, and we need to really look at what we're doing to our healthcare workers. That's where my mind is at. Because I'm quitting my job, and I think a lot of the question I get when I tell people that is like, oh, what's next? You know, where are you working now? Like, where are you going to work next? And I'm not mad at people for asking me this, you know, and I do, like, and I'm not, ashamed or afraid to answer them, which is that nowhere, I'm going nowhere. Like, I mean, after a while it does get a little old, in the sense of, like, I'm bigger than my job, you know, like, my next step is to be a human. Is that okay? You know? But that's my burnout talking, you know, like, that's my exhaustion and my cynicism. And I just feel like, you know, it's just time. I need a break. I need a break really badly. And, so basically, I'm taking a break, and I don't really know what that looks like yet. And, I know that I'm very privileged to be able to do that. I think I will try to look into some sort of, FMLA or unemployment or something. But ultimately this is a matter of, I have to, you know, and I'm really sad that I have to. I love my work. I do really love being a therapist. Underneath the negativity and the cynicism, it is what I want to do. And something I've been telling clients a lot, and everyone, anyone who will listen, is that I think non-therapists have this perception that when we talk about healthcare worker burnout, I feel like they're, among non-therapists, it's kind of understood that, like, oh, they're burnt out because their job is hard, because it's hard to listen to people, like, you know, talk about their bad days all day, every day, you know, like, and that's definitely part of it, I'm not going to lie. I mean, it's a hard job, but there are a lot of hard jobs, you know, like there's definitely, I would say almost, I think every job is really hard in some way or another. So it's been really important to me to tell clients as I'm telling them I'm leaving that, like, if they ask and if it's conducive to our conversation, you know, I'll say like, I'm leaving because I need a break and I'm burnt out and I really need to recover from that. And then I follow it with like, it's really important to me that you know that I'm not burnt out because of you or because of my work with clients. Like, that's not what's happening here. And it's been really important for me to emphasize that because, I truly think that I think if there was a different context, if I had more institutional and societal support, I think maybe I could do this job forever, you know? And I don't think it's the work with the clients that is burning me out. It's the whole picture. It's the whole package. And it's just this, I don't know. I'm spiraling off into a rant now, and that's where I'm at. You know, like I have less and less time of lucidity and clarity, and it's time to give it a rest. I do still intend to do this podcast. I enjoy it. I do really like it. And I'm really, really hoping that with some time and some more rest, I can devote more energy to some ideas that I have. And actually, hold on, let me finish talking about burnout first. Oh my gosh. Before I stop talking about this, I did want to share this one article that I found really comforting, and written really, really well. And it's an article called, Neurodivergent Burnout, The Cost of Closing the Gap. And it's by, Abby Moorcock. I think I'm saying that right. And it's on the episode Me Decoded. And the title comes from, an excerpt that's in which Abby says, neurodivergent burnout grows with years of pretending to be something you are not, to fit into a world that wasn't designed for people like you. It's the result of the work we have to do to close the gap between what neurotypical society expects us to be and who we are. So I thought that was really beautiful, well said. Another thing she says is this great paragraph in which she says, if you're a neurodivergent adult, you've probably developed great coping mechanisms to deal with the drip, drip, drip of minor stressors you experience trying to fit into a world not designed for your brain type. But you wake up one day and suddenly you're drowning. All those drips you thought rolled off your back are still there, yet you can't swim anymore. That's what burnout can feel like. So I'll post the link in the notes to this article because it's really great. And so I'm finding it as a good, like, comforting, like, reassuring thing that this is not just me. I'm not alone in this. And, especially in the context of like neurodivergent people, and I'm in good company in that sense. One great reminder that she has in this article is just getting back to the very, very basics, you know, and just spending time starting at the core and then finding ways to build myself back up. So like the basics as in like being fed, hydrated, and rested, you know, so that's where I'm starting. Maybe I'll come back with more tips for burnout, but that's where I'm going to start, and I hope to I hope to heal. And I hope a lot of my work, in recovery and, in learning more about what it means to be neurodivergent and what it means to, you know, live more authentically. I hope that, I can have more to share than that, but I don't. I'm wiped. But anyway, that's where I'm at. I have no idea if there was anything useful in that. And to be honest, I might not listen to it back. I think I might just put this out there because otherwise I will just hold on to it forever. That's a lie. I'll probably listen to it once through. No, I shouldn't. I'm just going to put it out there. So anyway, back to some of my ideas and like, I don't know if anyone, maybe everyone has stopped listening and I don't expect to get much feedback on this, but I do have a lot of ideas that I would love feedback on if, the mood strikes you or if you remember. Yeah, I just have, I'm hoping to have more energy soon to devote to, just thinking about how I can make this more exciting and, obviously with quitting my job, I would like to look into avenues to make this, profitable. I put a lot of myself into this and I would, you know, like it to be, you know, to keep me afloat in some way. So, I might put out something like that, like a Patreon or a, like a donate thing of like the Ko-fi, that thing, or, something like that. I still have like some questions in my inbox that I would love to answer. And like, I was thinking I would just do podcast episodes on them and I might still do that, but, I've been sitting on so many for so long that I would love to try to just, I don't know, get those out there. I hate feeling like I'm leaving people hanging. And answering questions is something that I really enjoy doing. So, one idea that I had is like a Facebook Live thing, you know, maybe, like I have some email questions that I could just read on a Facebook Live stream or whatever and answer in real time. And then if people can see it, they can comment and, interact if they want to, or, you know, lots of ideas. I'd love to create some sort of like subscription service so I can, interact more intimately with people and, you know, that people can have more of my attention. You know, I would love, and to have more opportunities to just, spend time together, like having some sort of ADHD movie or TV watching club is so fun sounding to me. Like, you know, having a show like, on my Facebook, page, I recommended Everything's Gonna Be Okay, which is a show on Freeform that is delightful and has just incredible neurodivergent representation. So like watching that with a bunch of like neurodivergent people, like just makes my heart sore. So those are just a few of my, you know, just off the cuff ideas that have been swirling around, and I don't know if any of them are realistic or appealing to literally anybody else. But anyway, I'm gonna call it a day, a night, morning, whatever. And I know this wasn't useful and people probably stopped listening by now, but if you are still listening, thank you. Thank you for supporting me. It really means a lot. I do. I read every message I receive. I keep track of all my listeners and where they're from. And even like, you know, I can, on some podcast platforms, I can see like when people stop listening. Like, so I look at all of that and I see you and I really appreciate you. And I'm really glad you're here. And I'm I'm just starting a new adventure. And that adventure is doing that thing. And that's going to be harder than it sounds. I know my ADHD people will be nodding to that. Doing nothing is hard. So, anyway, I appreciate you. I hope you're doing well, and I will be back in a couple weeks. That's all for this episode, but there is plenty more at my website, theadhdmanual.com. That's theadhdmanual.com. You can find me on Facebook, Twitter, and Reddit at The ADHD Manual. Do you have a question, comment, or story? Then I want to hear it. Email me at theadhdmanual@gmail.com. Very special thank you to my brother, Joe Miner, for composing this theme music, and thank you so much for listening. And remember to be kind to yourself. See you next time.